I thought I would do a workbook lesson today that was to honor the 4th of July. Okay, which since I was just told to do it, it would take me a minute to locate it. Okay, lesson 199 in the workbook, page 382. I'm not a body. I am free.
All right.
I'm not a body. I'm free. Now, if you all would really like to take that beyond the intellectual level, would you raise your hand? Okay. Okay, great. Let's look around at each other, and let's look around at each other's bodies. Let's check each other's bodies out. This is a legitimate spiritual reason to do it. Nobody would accuse you of being inappropriate. You can blame it on me. That's what eventually happens all the time anyway. So you can just go do it now. So what that just said to us was the people that you just got through looking at, they're not the bodies that you're looking at. That's deep. See, that takes it to another level. It's like you're looking at me, he just told us, I'm not this body. So when you're looking at me, you're not really seeing me. I am not a body. I am free. So I am not a body means you are free. So I'm going to read this, and it's really deep because it's going to beautifully explain how to be free. It's going to beautifully explain what the purpose of the body is so you can be free. So here we go. He says, freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive a body as yourself. The body is a limit. Who would seek for freedom in a body looks for freedom where freedom cannot be found. The mind can be made free when the mind no longer sees itself as in a body, firmly tied to the body and sheltered by the body's presence. If you were really sheltered by your body's presence, if this were the truth, the mind were vulnerable indeed. The mind that serves the Holy Spirit, the mind that serves love, is unlimited forever. In all ways, beyond the laws of space and time, unbound by any preconceptions, and with the strength and power to do whatever is asked. Attack thoughts cannot enter such a mind, because a mind that has no attack thoughts has been given to the source of love, and fear can never enter in a mind that has attached itself to love. A mind that has attached itself to love rests in God. And who can be afraid who lives in innocence and only loves? It's essential for your progress. It's essential for your progress in this course that you accept today's idea. I am not a body. I am free. And hold the idea, I am not my body. I am free. Very clear. Be not concerned that to the old man it is quite insane. Be not concerned that to your ego mind, your worldly mind, your human mind, this idea that you are not a body is quite insane. The part of you, the ego, the part of you that's afraid, the ego, the part of you that thinks you are separate, the ego holds the body dear, because it's the ego that lives in the body. And it's the ego that lives united with the home that the ego has made. So it is a part of the illusion that has sheltered it from being found illusory itself. Here does your ego hide in the body. Your fear hides in the body. Your separated self hides in the body. And here it can be seen as what it is. Declare your innocence and you are free. Declare your innocence and you are free. Declare your innocence and you are free. When you are free, the body disappears because you have no need of a body except the need that love sees, God sees, Holy Spirit sees. For the Holy Spirit's purpose, for love's purpose, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. So your body will become a vehicle which helps love, which is forgiveness, be extended to the all-inclusive goal that it must reach according to God's plan. Cherish today's idea. I am not a body. I am free. Practice, I am not a body, I am free today. And every day, make I am not a body, I am free a part of every practice period you take. This is no thought, there is no thought that will not gain thereby in power to help the world, and none which will not gain in added gifts to you as well. We sound the call of freedom round the world with this idea, I am not a body, I am free. And would you be exempt from the acceptance of the gifts you give? The Holy Spirit, the love in you, the voice for God, your higher self, is the home of minds that seek for freedom. In your higher self, and in their higher self, in the Holy Spirit, they have found what they have sought. The body's purpose now is unambiguous. And so the body becomes perfect. The body becomes perfect in the ability to serve an undivided goal. The body becomes perfect in the ability to serve an undivided goal. In conflict-free and unequivocal response to man with but the thought of freedom as its goal, the body serves and serves its purpose well. Without the power to enslave, your body is a worthy servant of the freedom which the man within the Holy Spirit seeks. Be free today. Carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within a body. Carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within a body. Carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within a body. You be free so that the Holy Spirit can make use of your escape from bondage to set free the many who perceive themselves as bound and helpless and afraid. Let love replace their fears. Let love replace their fears through you. Accept salvation now. Accept healing now. And give your mind to the Holy Spirit who calls to you to make this gift to Him. For Holy Spirit would give you, love would give you, God would give you perfect freedom, perfect joy, and hope that finds its full accomplishment in God. You are God's child. You are God's son. In immortality, you live forever. Would you not return your mind to your immortality? Then practice well the thought that God gives you for today. Your brothers and sisters stand released with you in this thought. The world is being blessed along with you. You, God's child, God's son, will weep no more. And heaven, which is your reality, offers thanks for the increase of joy your practice brings even to it. And God Himself, love itself, extends its love and happiness. Each time you say, God Himself extends His love and happiness. Each time you say, I am not a body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me. And it is only this voice that God has given me, my mind obeys. I am not a body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me. And it is only this, my mind obeys. Let's say it together. I am not a body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this my mind obeys. One more time. I am not a body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this my mind obeys. Do you know that somebody who doesn't love their body ought to be so glad to hear this, they ought to be jumping up and down with joy? If you don't like your body, there should be no happier news that you could receive than that you're not it. So everybody who thinks that they're ugly would love this lesson. If they heard it correctly. Because they don't want to identify with something they don't like, no way. And the lesson is saying you're not it. So even if you were sad, you'd feel better if you heard this. Now, and if you love your body, then you would still feel good because you would know that the purpose of it was to free you. And that you're going to use your body as a means for freedom. So you'd be happy if you were loving your body, you'd be happy if you weren't. So let's go back over this. Since this is the 4th of July, which is always talking about freedom. It says, freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive your body as yourself. So as soon as I understand that my body is a limit, that my body does not have unlimited power, he says, I wouldn't look for freedom where it couldn't be found, and you couldn't possibly find freedom in something that is limited. And there's a limitation on what the body can do. So Spirit is saying, you all need to get that you'll never be free as long as you think you're a body, because there's a limit to what the body can do. So anybody who says they really want to be free are saying that they want to go beyond the idea of just having a body, even though it's nothing wrong with having a body, and it's not condemning us having a body. So don't take that. It's tempting with the Course to believe it's saying something against the body. And it's just saying to us, you'll never be free as long as you think that you are your body, because very logically, the body is limited, so therefore the body could never be the house of freedom. Does everybody see that? Okay. Then he says, the mind can be made free when it no longer sees itself as in the body, firmly tied to it and sheltered by its presence. Because if you were really in your body, then your mind would be vulnerable. If you were really in your body, and that was really all you had to protect yourself, then you really would be vulnerable, because we know that a body is not invulnerable. So if you use this, it's almost like using cotton candy to protect you. You know cotton candy is not going to stop nothing from getting to you. That's the same as looking at your body as being the protection of yourself, when anything can destroy it. It couldn't possibly be the thing that protects us. Everybody with me on that? See how logical the Course is? So logical sometimes that you almost wonder why you tell yourself, I don't understand what it just said. It's just, I've never had anybody say anything like this to me before. Have you? Mm-hmm. Think about it. That's what I love about this book. You read a lot of books, but it's rare you read a book that'll say stuff in a way you can really say you never heard that before, mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. Any questions about that first paragraph? And then, you know, it's cool on Wednesday to discuss more, because it's used a little more intimate. Everybody clear? You just have no doubts about what that paragraph said. You're just totally, completely clear on that paragraph. Everybody clear? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. The mind that serves the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever. Okay. Now, when you're reading the Course, whenever you get to a comma, it always means that he's getting ready to tell you what he just said meant. He's going to tell you exactly what he meant. Like, for instance, he says, the mind that serves the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever in all ways. What does that mean? Is that when you serve the Holy Spirit, your mind will be beyond time, beyond space, beyond preconceptions, and your mind will be powerful enough to do whatever it's asked to do. So if you really want to know the power of your mind, all you have to do is serve love, which is the Holy Spirit. Serve God, which is love. He says we'll never know our unlimited nature as long as we want anything for each other than love. It's built into the system. If you're not going to extend love, you have no power to affect anything. That's the law. So the minute a person goes into fear, anger, attack, hatred, they lose their power to affect anything real, because you're not unlimited until you're serving God. You're not unlimited until you're serving love. Your mind isn't unlimited until you're serving the voice for God inside of you. Everybody clear on that one? See what I'm saying? It's like beautiful. It's just a straight up statement that we can either accept or reject. But you know what? I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that people don't have no power who don't love, and all they can do is make stuff that doesn't last. That's all we do here, because it's not rooted in love yet. It's rooted in fear. So he says, if you want to have the strength to do whatever you ask, you want to serve God. You want to serve love. You want to serve the truth. Attack thoughts cannot enter a man that's serving God. A man that's serving God would never have thoughts of attack. Got it clear about that? See, I think I got all this devotion to God, yet I'm full of all this crap in my mind. You know, it's like, you know, I have the fear thoughts, I have the anger thoughts, I have the weary thoughts, but I'm going, I love God, and I'm really serving God. So, God said, no. You couldn't have those kind of thoughts if you were really serving love. Wow. Then he says, why? Because you wouldn't have any attack thoughts, because you've given your mind over to me, And the once you attach your mind to me, you never can have any fear into your mind. So the once you've united your mind with the mind of the Creator, it's impossible for you to be afraid, because a mind that's connected to God could never be afraid. Does that make sense? That if a mind has fear, it must not be connected to love. But I used to think I could be full of fear and connected to love. That's how the course gets me every time, because I'm so used to compromise. I'm so used to mixing it together. You know, and the course is doing just the opposite. It's separating it. Love is like this. Fear is like this. They don't meet. And I'm used to going, I love you, but I'm a little afraid of you. I love you, but I'm mad at you. I love you, but I'm trying to... See, I like to mix the illusions together. I love you, but I fear you. I care so much about you, but I'm scared to death of losing you. See, love and fear are separate. And so he's telling us, number one, if y'all really want to have freedom, if you really want to make the 4th of July incredible, understand that you'll never be free as long as you think that your body is you. And if you keep looking for your freedom in the body instead of looking for your freedom in your mind, you'll never know freedom. And your mind will be free when you're serving God. And when you're serving God, you won't have no fear. And up until that point, you BSing, Earl. You just need to get real, Earl. Until you really are serving love for real, then you will not know fearlessness. But the more you can experience love, the more fearless you will become. So you need to be thankful for any progress that you make. Okay? So the Course says, the reason why you could never have attack thoughts, he says, because your thoughts rest in God. And so who can be afraid who lives in innocence and only love? So like, how could I be afraid if all I do is love people? How could I be afraid if all I am is love? So I'm resting in God. If I really knew I was innocent, I wouldn't feel afraid. So fear really isn't coming from a fear of a criminal. Fear is really coming from my guilt. And then my guilt makes me feel like there's something out here to be afraid of. Because if I really thought I was innocent and really knew I was innocent, I couldn't be afraid, because I knew I wouldn't deserve any kind of pain. Because if you really believe you're innocent, you don't believe you deserve to suffer. If you really believe you're innocent, you don't believe you deserve to suffer. If you really believe you're innocent, you do not believe you deserve to suffer. Even in this world, nothing upsets us more than thinking that an innocent person went to jail and that an innocent person suffered. So, because even in our society, we don't believe an innocent person should suffer. So, therefore, the Course is saying, if you're suffering, you're seeing yourself as less than innocent. And then seeing yourself as less than innocent produces the physical event that makes you unhappy. Whoa! Have a nice day. Oh, see, I could have been eating some barbecue. I need me in this. It's going to be the best food you ever had in your life today. You know why? Because after talking about not being a body, your ego is going to do everything it possibly can to attract you to the body and the body senses. So it's going to be the best food you ever had. You know, because it identifies you right back with the body again. Yeah. So your ego is going to be doing everything today to give you as much pleasure as it possibly can to make you forget what you just heard. So I'm just warning you now. I'm warning you. We're getting ready to go into the heaviest levels of temptation that souls go through on the way back to life. The temptations of pleasures fulfilled. Because nothing sidetracks a soul faster than getting what it wants. Because as soon as it gets the toy, it wants to play with it and not keep on doing the journey. Well, see, you're not getting what you want, then you're mad, so you keep going forward. You know, you're getting what you want to stop. Yeah. And you want to stay there, and you want to play with it as if you're not going to have another pleasure, and 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 another pleasure. That's why you don't have to stop it with any of them, because they're going to keep on coming and keep on increasing, and it'll take all your attention just to handle the present of the pleasure of the now. So you won't have time to deal with the pleasure you got 5 minutes ago. The pleasure of the now will be so big, you won't have time for that. Okay. Now the next part of the course is going to tell you some bad, some incredible stuff. Any questions about paragraph 2? Everybody clear? That, okay, what would make your mind unlimited forever? Serving what? Yeah, serving God. Yeah, you know the answer. It's not a trick question. The reason why I ask you is so that if you bring it back out of yourself, you remember it. It's not for me, it's to help you remember it. If you got attack thoughts in your mind, if you got hate thoughts in your mind, if you got anger, jealous thoughts in your mind, then your mind isn't serving the truth in that moment. You've given up the truth in that moment for whatever it is that's upset you. Does that make sense? Okay. Then it says, if you really were serving God, fear could never enter your mind because it would be so full of peace and love that no such thought could come in. So that's why serving love is the safest thing you can do, because when you serve love, there's no fear in your mind. If there's no fear in your mind, then there are no fear thoughts to create fearful physical circumstances. Because all your fearful physical circumstances come from the fearful thoughts in your mind. If your mind is serving God, it would not be afraid, so therefore would have no fearful thoughts, and you would not have any fear in your physical reality. No fearful events. Sounds impossible, don't it? Sounds incredible. That's because we're not the minds to serve the Holy Spirit. We're the minds that think we are the body. We're the minds that think we are vulnerable. We're the minds that are afraid and think attack thoughts. You see what I mean? So to the ego, that's what it's getting into next. It says, it's essential for your progress in this course that you accept today's idea and hold it very dear. He says, don't be concerned that you're going to think it's crazy. Okay? Don't be concerned that you're going to think this is crazy. Don't worry about thinking what I'm saying is crazy. Don't worry about thinking what I'm saying is crazy. It's okay to think that some of the things I say are crazy. If we're going to go through the course, we've got to make it okay to hear crazy thoughts. You won't make it through the book. Okay? So don't be concerned that a part of you says, that's insane to tell me that I'm not a body. It's insane to tell me that I could have no fear in my mind whatsoever about anything. If that kind of thought come up, even if it comes up through somebody else, like a friend or a relative or somebody who thinks a different thought system, don't be concerned if they think it's insane. He says, declare your innocence and you're free. He didn't say walk around all day and say, I'm not a body to everybody you meet. He said, if you were to declare that you were innocent, you would be free. So the way you go beyond the body is not trying to make yourself think the body isn't there. The way you go beyond the body is to declare yourself as innocent. So don't worry about trying to, I'm not a body, how do I see myself as not a body? You go, I am innocent, I am innocent, I am innocent, I am innocent. And you're going beyond the body because all of your guilt comes from something you think the body said or did. So just going beyond the body will automatically take you beyond your guilt. You don't have to single out each little gift, what I did on prom night and what I did last night. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, I am going to declare my innocence that will get rid of all of my guilt and make me aware that I'm more than a body. That I don't have to spend all day trying to make myself not see myself as a body. He says, be not concerned that to the ego it's quite insane. He says, the ego holds the body dear because the ego lives in it. Bam! Why do we hold the body dear? Because we think we live in it. Let's be honest. Don't all of you think, maybe, yes, I don't know what it looks like to you all, but it looks like I'm inside of this body looking out at you all. Does it look that way to you too? Okay, then we know then we must be the ego. We must be in tune with the ego mind because we believe we are the body. We believe we are separate. He said, it makes sense that you would hold something dear that you think you live in. Okay? It's natural to be attached to the body when you think you're in it. Mm-hmm. Right? Then he says, you live united with your body, but he calls it the home you made. Now that's deep. The Course in Miracles teaches that God didn't make the body, we made the body. because God could never make something that didn't last. So what do you mean? Well, I'm the man of God. I have an unlimited mind. One part of my mind had the idea of separation. I'd like to be separate. I'd like to be different. I wonder what it would be like. I'd like to be separate. I'd like to be different. I wonder what it would be like. That idea produced a body to be separate in. Because that's what it does, y'all. It separates us. That's why we're looking at a bunch. It's not abstract stuff. This is real. We're all sitting up here in separate bodies. He said, well, that's the reason. Well, how do we get here? You wanted to be separate. But you had to have a body to do it. Because you are a mind. You are beyond the body. You're unlimited. You don't have a physical form. You're beyond form. You are unlimited. So if you wanted to have a separate experience, we had to have something to have a separate experience in. That's what the body is. It's the way I have my separate experience as Earl Purdy, and not think that I'm also connected with all of you. Even though I really am. If we're all one.
Of virtual reality.
It's like this big illusion of separation and differences. And then he runs it down so beautifully. He says, this is an abstract. Don't let your mind tell you it's abstract. He says, here you go. Let's say it to you another way. You're going to think it's insane to be told that you're more than the body and that you're this unlimited being. It might have sounded insane to you. You made the body. Don't be concerned with that. We hold the body dear because we think we live in it. And so we are attached to the home we made. That's a fact. I am attached to my body. Of course I am. Why? Because I think I'm in it. That's why I'm attached to it. So I shouldn't feel guilty about feeling attached to my body. Of course I feel attached to my body. It's me, and guess what? I got pleasure and pain to prove it's me. That hurt. That must be me. Felt good. Must be me. Pleasure and pain is what makes me believe it's me. See, he's running it down. Well, it is me. Why? Because I have sensation. That's what I just said. Pleasure and pain is what makes you think it's you. I'm just telling you what's really going on. Okay? Then he says, It is a part of the illusion that has sheltered it from being found illusory. You know, it's like you thinking that you live in it is part of the illusion that keeps you from seeing that it's an illusion. I think I'm in it. I think I am it. And since it feels like me and it feels real, all of it must be real. Any questions about that paragraph? Any comments? Any thoughts? I can't believe y'all hearing this and don't have a comment about it. I refuse to believe that y'all can hear something like this and don't have one single thing to say.
then where am I?
You are free.
So I'm non-local.
You're non-local. See, that's one lesson that said that. If you're not a body, what are you? If you're not a body, see, it's not about me answering that question. It's really about you asking that question. Mm-hmm. Because if I tried to answer that question, then I would take what you are and bring it right back into the realm of the ego again. Because we would label it and we would try to give it a form. Mm-hmm. So it's best that I not try to answer that question in order for you to stay unlimited. We don't want to reduce you to another concept. You see what I mean? So that's why you go, I'm not a body, I'm free. I'm a body, I don't even know it. But it's not saying you don't have one. It didn't say you didn't have one. So it's not about us thinking that at any level we should not be okay with being right here in our physical bodies right now. If you're looking at it that way, you're not hearing what it's saying correctly. Okay? If you're hearing it correctly, you become glad you're in your physical body sitting in the chair. All right. He says, here does it hide and here it can be seen as what it is. Declare your innocence and you are free. Then he says, the body disappears because you have no need of it except the need that love sees. He says, for this, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. So if you're hearing this correctly, you'll go, you know what I'm saying? My body is very useful to help me carry out what my mind wants to do. My body is very helpful in helping me carry out what my mind wants to do. My body is very helpful in helping me carry out what I want to do. My body is very helpful in helping me to carry out what my mind wants to do. That's where you look at your body. My body is very helpful in helping me carry out what I want to do. That's the correct perception of the body. My body is very helpful in helping me carry out my mission of serving the truth, serving joy, serving abundance, serving union, serving relationship. My body is very useful for joy. My body is very useful for freedom. My body is very useful for helping me have joy and abundance and freedom. That's the correct perception of my body. It's helpful in helping, like he says right here. Right here he says, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. And then it says, this is what your mind must do. Become a vehicle which helps forgiveness be extended to the all-inclusive goal that it must reach according to God's plan. So my body becomes a vehicle through which love, which is forgiveness, can be extended. So I would use my body as a vehicle to let the love that I am come through to you and you and you. See, I'm using my body. To bring you the love. See what I'm saying? I'm using my body. My body is useful form for helping me carry out the purpose of serving God. So my body is cool for, you know, all day long. I'm going to be doing it different ways. Somewhere I'm going to be potting. You know, I might bring up a little love like that. You know what I'm saying? Or eating something or laughing or something. But when I walk up, I know the purpose of my body is to help me extend forgiveness as the one all-inclusive goal in God's plan. That's not saying I can't have a flat screen TV. No sacrifice on this path. Anytime you think you hear anything in the Course in Miracles that says you have to sacrifice, you should stop right there and go, I've just made an incorrect interpretation of the Course. The Course would never ask me to give up what I really want. And that's how you go beyond that block. You say, I'm wrong. You don't go, the Course is trying to get me to sacrifice. You go, I'm wrong, because I think the Course is trying to get me to sacrifice. And that's how you go past the block.
Well, is it also that we, like, okay, on seeing my little body here, is that it's really good for communication because, you know, that's like, we think this is communication, but we know it's really the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, so then I'm also not attached to my really good barbecue. You know, it's like I can enjoy it.
That's absolutely. Yeah. But how's you going to extend the love?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't extend love when you're having a miserable time.
Right, yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, when you go to things you love with people that you love, it's easier for you to use your body to help in your spiritual purpose. Well, that's what, you know, go ahead.
And we know the truth, though, that we're really not the body. So, like, that food isn't real either. But, like, I can still enjoy it.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the hardest thing for people to accept in my 20-something years of teaching the Course. Is that there's no sacrifice.
Yeah.
Do you know the idea of sacrifice is so intricately wound into our thinking that we got to lose or give up something, that being happy without having to make a sacrifice, of course, says it has no appeal to us.
Yeah.
You know, because we're looking for where I'm going to lose. There's got to be somewhere in what you're saying that I got to give up something. See, that's what the Course says. That's what makes it difficult for us to receive, because the idea of you having it all is beyond our concept. I couldn't have it all. I got to give up something. And he says, yeah, you got to give up your fear when you're ready. Give up your unhappiness, okay? So the next paragraph, anybody else about that paragraph before I go to the next one?
The body and the mind serve each other.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to use my body to free my mind, and I'm going to use my mind to protect my body by using my body to bring the extension of love and truth into my experience. I'm going to use my body as a means to help in the plan. And that's how you heal the body. You stop using it to hurt yourself. You stop using it for guilt. You stop using it for anger. You stop using it for fear. That you don't repress. You just set that as a goal. That you want to change your mind and learn how to serve your higher self enough that you won't be afraid. But to beat us, but for us to beat ourselves up, because we do have some fear and anger, mm-hmm. would be the opposite of what we're being asked to do. We're just being asked to see there is an alternative, and to ask ourselves, do we want it? You know what I mean? It's like that which is guiding us knows that we haven't achieved the level of consciousness that we can practice it yet, or it wouldn't need to instruct us. We need to realize that that's true, so we'll stop being so hard on ourselves. And we should be proud of ourselves for even setting the goal in a world where you never even hear stuff like this. You know, just to be here listening to the idea that you could be so unlimited as to not be your body, and there's a way for you to have total joy in your body for real without hurting yourself anymore. That's an incredible level of gift and liberation. And it's accepting us where we are. It didn't say we needed to be somewhere else before this could come to us. It accepted us wherever we are today. That's love. That's love. We're getting a demonstration of love right now. So the next paragraph. Take a breath, please. Okay. It says, cherish today's idea, practice today's idea. When? Every day. Say, make it a part of every practice that you take. He says, in it, he says, there is no thought that will not gain thereby in power to help the world, and none which will not gain in added gifts to you as well. In other words, he's saying, we sound the call of freedom around the world with this idea. And wouldn't you be exempt from the freedom that you're giving? If I'm giving you freedom, how could I be exempt from it? You can't be exempt from what you're giving. So to always make sure a person is included, all they have to do is give it, and they'll always be included in it. So you always be included in what you give. To hear the law? You know, it's like, how can I give you freedom and then I don't give myself freedom automatically? If I'm giving you freedom, I'm going to give myself freedom. That's a natural result of give. If I give you love, I'm going to give myself love. I can't be exempt from whatever I give. You know something? If I give you anger, I'm going to have anger. I can't give you anything that I'm not included in it. Right? See, this is not theoretical. All of us know that we're hearing the truth. All we have to do is just be honest with ourselves. If you're mad at me, you're included in it. Because you're mad. But the kicker is to know that it's only you feeling it. That's the thing about being separate, is that no one else feels your pain but you. That is deep. Because we have a tendency to think other people are feeling our pain. They aren't. I can prove it right now. How many of you feel me pinching myself? None of you. You can say you're psychic and all that, but you don't feel it. That's the truth. Nobody feels your pain but you, which means there's a world outside your pain that's not connected to it at all, that you're the only one feeling it, or you would have felt me pinch myself. So when you feel good, it's you making you feel good. And when you feel bad, it's you making you feel bad. Because I'm pleasuring myself right now. Who wants to feel that? Nobody. So that's the secret of happiness. The secret of happiness is to know you're the one that's making yourself feel. I know y'all got something to say behind that. That's deep, y'all.
So there really is no mind. Outside of the mind is the consciousness that says that it is love, and what feels the pleasure and the pain is the mind, right?
Yeah, what's feeling the pleasure and the pain is the part of the mind that wants to be separate. See, we're the mind, okay, but we got a part of our mind that wants to be separate. And the only way that it can be separate is through fear, because fear is what makes you feel separate.
Are we saying God is spiritual then?
No, I'm saying God is only love.
Then how can we, as a collective whole, because we're one, which means we're God, how can we not recognize that the pure thought is coming from somewhere?
We are recognizing that the fear is coming from somewhere. And we're in the process of recognizing that the fear is coming from our identification with being separate and with being a body. That's where the fear is coming from. And rather than, even though the temptation is to focus on how did it happen, what you really want to focus on is how do I need to see things now to free myself? How do I need to see things now to free myself? Well, here's the answer to that one. I am not a body, I am free. I am not a body, I am free. So he says, the Holy Spirit is the home of the minds that seek for freedom, because in love we find what we have sought. So when you become loving, the purpose of the body is no longer unambiguous. What that means is that I now have only one undivided goal. And that is, I'm going to use my body for freedom. I'm going to use my body for love. I'm going to use my body for truth. And I ain't screwing around with that. That's the only thing I want to use my body for. And in the process, using my body for love will produce beautiful days, beautiful houses, beautiful trips, beautiful people, beautiful love, beautiful money. Oh, that's just the form of the idea taking all kinds of different appearances. But it's all coming from me having an undivided goal, which is to know my innocence, to know my truth, to know my love. Because now I am the home of the Holy Spirit. I am the place where it used to be the ego looking out of my body. Now it's the Holy Spirit looking out of my body. It's love using my body now instead of fear using my body. My body is neutral. See the difference? Instead of getting caught up on the ego parts, try to always go for what do I need to do now to have the love and the peace that it's offering me right now, because the Course is one of the few books that promise you can always have it now. You can always have it in an instant. It's not a book that says you're going to have it after a few more lives and a few more understanding it and a few more years of studying it. And every day he'll say all through the book, you know, today you could go home. Right this moment you could have, you know, your mind could change. I love that about it, because if it's the truth, it should be that way. It should be that if love is really guiding me, if love is really what God is, how could God be love and God not always make it so that at any instant I could be free of pain? It would have to be that way if our Creator is love. It would not be necessary for us to wait. But then I go, well, why do I wait? Well, you wait because you think you're in a body that you made, that you attached to, that you go through pleasure and pain, that you think if this is all there is, and you're afraid to lose it because you think there's not enough. That's why you keep it. What you're talking about, Earl, is theoretical. But this is real. You see what I'm saying? It's like, of course it's hard to let go of this when you don't think there's anything else. And letting go of it doesn't mean not enjoying it. Letting go of it means not being attached to it. And people get that confused. You can't enjoy something that you are afraid of losing. You can't enjoy it until you think it's really yours. The bicycle in the window don't turn me on as much as the bicycle that was under my tree when I was a kid. Because that's the one I could ride. You know what I mean? So the Course is always saying, I can make your presence so loving that you'll forget the pain. You'll forget the fear. You'll forget the grievance. That's the way it's, that's what it's. I don't care about analyzing what you think happened to you when you was a child. This is like Bugs Bunny analyzing himself. Bugs Bunny don't exist, and none of his childhood did either. That's deep, y'all. You know what I mean? So he's saying, if you want to cut through your stuff really quick, all you have to do is say, I have a conflict-free, unequivocal response to mine. I just have the thought of freedom as my goal. My body's going to serve my thought of freedom, and my body's going to serve my freedom well. My body's going to serve my freedom, and my body's going to serve my freedom well. He says, without the power to enslave, your body becomes a worthy servant of the freedom which your mind within the Holy Spirit seeks. What is a mind that's full of love? He says, what is a mind that's in love? What does that mind seek? He says, a mind that's in love seeks freedom. And that your body will be a worthy servant of your freedom. That is a beautiful thought about the body. This is so powerful, it's probably knocking some of y'all out. Some of y'all like getting it, but some of y'all probably knocked out. Why? Because it is the opposite to every friggin' thing your ego believes. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, it'll have that effect. Mm-hmm. But it won't always. See how animated I am? See how my reaction is different? Mm-hmm. Yours is going to be that way one day. Mm-hmm. You'll be so excited to hear that you're free and innocent and loved. One day that'll be the greatest thing you could ever hear.
Hmm. Yeah, and like maybe sometimes, like right now, what I see is like I see that I understand the truth and that I know it, but that it's like it's so like I have to continually like reinforce mm-hmm. the thought mm-hmm. as you're speaking
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that the ego doesn't same overtake same. It sometimes.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, well, no, but I have this to say,
yeah.
and that person has judgment. And I can fix all of this. And it's like, no, you can't do anything. What you can do is you can allow the Holy Spirit to put the arm around you and show you the world that you could choose to see. And it's totally just like...
You can let one person symbolize everybody, which I'm going to tell you is the easiest way to do it here. try loving everybody and watch what happens.
Yeah.
Come back and give me your story.
Yeah.
Does nothing on earth make anybody madder on earth for most people than the idea of loving more than them? You want to make somebody mad, love somebody else too. Let's get real. I mean, we can get idealistic or we can be real. And in my classes, I like to be real. I know the idealized version of the world, but let's talk about the one we live in. Mm-hmm. And which isn't just my personal world. It's yours too. You father, and it took me a while to get that, because I had to go, oh, well, that's not... Everybody in the world is loving. Everything is great. Everybody is wonderful. It's like, are you out of your mind? Do you read? Do you know anybody that's unhappy at all? Then that's the world you live in. You live in a world where some people are happy and some people aren't happy. You don't live in a world where everybody's happy. He said, get real. And then you go, well, how can I get into the world where everybody's happy? Well, he says something really drastic. Well, you got to be happy yourself. Oh, well, how do I become happy myself? I'm glad you asked. By doing what you want to do. Oh, what is it that I want to do? You want to do what's going to bring you freedom and bring you innocence and bring you peace. Oh, how do I do that? You start saying, I'm not a body, I'm free, even if you don't believe it. See, we could do that now. Every one of us is capable of doing that right now, saying that without believing it. So, God gave me another instant I could have been free, and it was another instant I decided not to take my freedom right now. Mm. It's sort of like somebody, I'm locked in a room and a person comes in and they give me the key to get out the room. And they say, whenever you're ready to leave the room, here's the key to unlock the door, and I'll see you later. I'll be out there. And when you take the key that's in your hand and open the door, you can come out there too. And that's what that was. It was like, say, I'm not a body, I'm free, and you'll be free. That's okay. It'll be there whenever you're ready.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. That's the gentleness of God's love. That's the beauty of it. That's how I know this is such a blessed material. Oh, okay. I just, in any instance, you can be free now. In any time you choose, you can be free. What do you mean? I'm asking you to say something you don't believe consistently. I'm just asking you to say to yourself that you'd like to have your body be used for your freedom and your joy. I'd like for you to say, I declare my innocence and that I'm free. I'd like for you to realize that the part of you that don't believe this, don't be concerned about it. It's just the part of you that's afraid that lives inside the body that thinks all of this is real. And I go, well, I don't want to do it right now. There's a couple of more movies I want to see. Mm-hmm. I never asked you not to go to the movie. Not that I said it had anything to do with you no longer being able to do the things that you want to do in the physical body. All I'm saying to you, Earl, is serve me. Let your mind serve love. Let your mind serve peace. That's all I'm asking you to do. I'm like going, fool. That's hard. Well, that's why I gave you a teacher who cannot fail. Well, how do I listen to it? You have to learn its language. What's its language? The Course is one way of learning the language of love. It's not the language of fearful, separated minds that's in a body, in a world, that's scared of each other and in competition. That is not the language of love that they use. And as long as you try to use that language to understand love, you'll always be confused about what love is, and it'll never make sense. The two thought systems do not meet at all. Last two paragraphs.
I'm dying.
Be free. Help me out, y'all. Be free when?
Today.
Okay. Carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within the body. Carry freedom as a gift. Who are the people who still believe they are enslaved inside of a body?
Us.
And are they the people that we're about to meet and go hang out with on the 4th of July?
Right.
Do they most of them pretty much believe that they're inside of their body, and without their body they wouldn't exist?
Right.
Okay, he says, well, carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within the body. Then the next instruction was, he says, be you. I like that. Be you free. You know, you be free. Why? So that God, the Holy Spirit, can make use of your escape from bondage, to set free the many who perceive themselves as bound and helpless and afraid. So you have escaped, so let God use you, because there are so many people in the world there are so few people in the world who think like you. There's so few people in the world that are willing to open their minds up like you. And so Spirit needs you to help everybody else escape, because you're the only ones that are willing to listen, and those who are like you around the world. Because most people wouldn't sit up in the class and listen to what I'm saying, and certainly wouldn't stay conscious most of the time. So therefore, you are very unique souls that the higher power needs to use, because most people are so caught up in the dream, they can't even hear what truth is saying. You are valuable. You're priceless. He says, let love replace their fears through you. Accept salvation, which the Course calls right-mindedness. Accept right-mindedness now. Then my mind goes, well, how do I do it? How do I accept it right now? He says, give your mind to love, God, who calls to you to make this gift to God. For God would give you perfect freedom, perfect joy, and hope that finds its full accomplishment in God. Why don't we give God the freedom to help us? Why don't we take the limits off of what we think God can do, so God can help us? Because what keeps us from being helped is we limit what we think can happen by what we believe can happen. So you go, it's not possible for a person that has leukemia to have it disappear tomorrow, because doctor says it's incurable. That's putting a limit on what God can do. That's not giving God the freedom to help us. Whenever we say it can't happen just because I don't see how it can happen, and because I don't see how it can happen, it couldn't happen for me. I don't see how all my problems could be solved today. I don't see how all of my insecurities and fears could leave my life forever today. So I go, this is a bunch of crap, it couldn't happen. But what I'm not doing is giving freedom to God. And that's what he says. Give God the gift that you want God to give to you.
I don't see how this can work. I don't see how this can be perfect. I don't see how I can be cured. I don't see how this is going to happen. But I'm willing. I give this to you.
That's it. See, you won't get it until you realize you don't need to get it.
Yeah.
It's the people who think they need to get it that never get it. You can't understand how something beyond your awareness is going to happen. Yeah. It's a stupid goal.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't mean that what's beyond my awareness can't happen, but I have to give it the freedom. Like I have to give God the freedom in a sense. You see what I mean by that? Giving God the freedom means taking the limits off of what you think could be done for you, regardless of the state that you think you're in.
That's a great reminder for me when I am challenged in that way and whatever, personally, preferably.
Mm-hmm.
So, like part of you will go, I'll say I don't understand. How could that happen? Or I can't. And then my mind will go, that's right, or whatever.
Yeah,
I can't.
That's right.
And then for some reason I'm okay.
That's right.
And I just need that reminder. You're not going
to
get it.
When you're confused and you don't know what to do, there is nothing more peaceful that you could say to yourself than I am fearful and I don't know what to do.
Mm.
So that you can be honest with yourself in that moment, be in alignment with yourself in that moment, and then that's a request for help. I don't know is a request for help. I'm afraid is a request for help. So as soon as you tell the truth in any moment about how you feel, then you allow it to pass through you, and you're allowing love to come right behind it. But when you stop and analyze it, you keep it from moving through you, and then you have to deal with it. And that's what we do in the world. We go, I got to analyze this, and I got to analyze that, and I got to analyze that one, and I got to figure out that over there, and I've got to figure this out, and then I don't have time to figure out all of them, so I store them and get back to them later. And they become diseases, accidents, lacks. You don't have to understand nothing to be saved and loved.
I think that's so. I just love that so much.
That's how you know it's the truth. That's how you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth because of the way you feel. You know, all of us know that that's the way it should be. All of us know we shouldn't be afraid. All of us know we shouldn't be suffering. And all of us know that we shouldn't be doubting each other and suspicious of each other. We know that's not our natural state. Well, we wouldn't be so mad. So that's the proof that all of us know we deserve better than what we give ourselves in some way, which means there's a part of you that knows you deserve love. And he's just saying to us, why don't you say, I'm going to serve the part of me that thinks it deserves love. Then he says, then you'll be beyond the laws of time, you'll be beyond the laws of space, you'll be beyond all these preconceptions, and you'll be free. And in your free mind, we already learned with what? Create our physical reality. And then that physical self that you think you are, it would begin to experience a more loving, peaceful physical life. So all parts of you would be in harmony, from the highest to your most physical. But I think I can have that until I figure out why my father was an alcoholic and how that screwed me up forever. You know, it's like, no, that's a distraction to keep you from saying, I am not a body, I am free. That's what that is. It's a distraction to keep you from focusing on what I just told you to focus on. And you know it don't work because you've been saying it since you were a child. So you know that don't work. You know. Last thing, I'm going to let you go. We almost got all the way through it again. He says, you are God's child. In immortality, you live forever. So now he's telling us the truth about us. He says, the truth is you are an extension of God. The truth is you are a being that lives forever. He says, wouldn't you want to return your mind to this? You know, wouldn't you like your mind to believe that you are the child of love and that you really are immortal? Wouldn't you rather believe you didn't die? Then he says, then practice well the thought the Holy Spirit gives you for today. Your brothers stand released with you in the thought. The world is blessed along with you in the thought. You will not cry anymore.
All right.
And heaven, which he calls reality, I love that. He says heaven is reality. He says, heaven offers thanks for the increase of joy your practice brings even to it. And God extends God's love and happiness every time you say, I'm not a body, I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this my mind obeys. Appreciate y'all. Have a happy 4th of July. And it's okay, and it's okay to go in and out. It's okay. All of those are normal reactions to really hearing and experiencing a lot of love. Just keep giving it to yourself. Regardless of your reactions, keep letting yourself hear you are innocent. Okay?
You know, Earl, 25 years ago I read that. I'm not a body, I am free. It scared the hell out of me. And today, what I got was, not a body, I am free. And there is a place where I am not alone.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Same words. The words weren't different 25 years ago. Who was?
A lot more hair, too.
Thank you for sharing. You had a lot more hair then, too. I look at pictures of myself 25 years ago. It's like,
yeah.
You know what I always do? Whenever I see a picture of myself, because photography has been my hobby for years and years. I have pictures of ever since I was 15, for sure. That's when I started, when I was about 15. So I can look at my whole life with no more than a six-month span at the most to today. I can, at any point in time. So, because I had like 60 albums or something. And I always talk to him because I realize that he exists simultaneously with the one that's sitting right here. Because there really is no such thing as linear time. It all happened at once. Just like this whole book is here at once, but then we can choose to go through it page by page. And if you look at each page as a day, that's what you're doing. So you either can go day by day, or you could see the whole book, or you could get to the end of the book and look at the last page, and you could see the front of the book. We don't realize we could do all that because we are stuck in linear beliefs, which say it has to happen day after day after day. So that means that Earl at age 113, it actually exists at the same time as Earl that exists as page 2773. They both in the same book. So this Earl that learned a lot, he's talking to this Earl back here.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you do. You always talk to yourself at all your ages so that they can receive the wisdom that you have right now. And that might have been the thing that kept you from doing something when you were a child and you didn't know why you didn't do it. It was your own future self telling you don't do that. You know, there's so much more to this than what we think, and that's why I'm loving that the students that are coming to my classes, that are students of the course, who want to go deeper and get past these limited ideas of who we are. It's so refreshing to me to talk at another level other than just the mundane level of how can I handle my MasterCard? You know, how can I get my boyfriend to act right? You know, it's like, I'm so glad when we realize that when we got that undivided purpose will take care of all of that. It'll just naturally take care of all of that. And that's the beauty of focusing on what we're focusing on. So tomorrow night, I'll be back to do the class, and then Sunday at 1:00, and the workshop is, you know, practically full, you know, so people who really want to do that, you need to go ahead and make that choice, and I appreciate you, and I just want you to realize, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, trust me, after all these years of sharing this, try to not analyze what you just heard today. Try not to leave out of here and say, I'm going to figure that out. To help you out, I'm going to ask you to forget most of what I said. So you may feel later on that you don't really remember that about what I said. So you can get a chance to just gel inside of you and integrate. Get back busy with your day-to-day activities. I'd like to ask you to get back busy with your day-to-day activities. And even talk as if you're separate for a large part of the rest of the day. And everything will be all right.
Everything will be all right.
Good. I'll see you next time.
You want her to do something?